Good morning.
Good morning.
Shavua Tov.
Oh, yes, Shavua Tov.
Are you the only one?
So far.
Okay. I can ask a quick question without going into much detail. Is Tony doing well?
Yes, I'm getting ready to send out the doctor's comments. You will
okay.
be quite surprised. All of us were. It came too late. So
I'll look forward to it.
No, it was really something.
L'shem Yehud could shabri hu ishkinte beat kilu or shimu kilu kilu or shimu. Liata l'shem yud he bavate. The Yehuda shalib b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino alena ma'asei yadenu kanunei alena ma'asei yadenu kanunehu. Today we are studying the first Aliyah of Parashah Mishpatim. The first Aliyah begins with Exodus chapter 21, verse 1, and completes with verse 19, for a total of 19 verses. And we know the 19 represents the 19 years of the Hebrew calendar cycle. It represents the gematria of the name Chava, which translates as mother of life. And it represents the male and female energies being united, as there are 19 sephirot within the male and female. We know that the Parasha Mishpatim is about reincarnation, as well as practical legal matters that every society needs to generate. And it's very interesting to process how the legal matter that a society needs, how that relates to the tikkun and to the laws of reincarnation. So we will begin to read with verse 1. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher hasim lifnehem. The important letter in this verse of five words and 24 letters. The first letter is what's the important one. It is the leading vav. The leading vav says we need to connect to the last part of the Yitro, seventh Aliyah, and that last part of Yitro was about the ramps instead of the stairs. But what it's really expressing is that everything in these in Mishpatim that deals with reincarnation or deals with societal laws, these were also given to Moses at Sinai. Mishpatim is a continuation and a very clear connection to the revelation of Hashem at Sinai. Verse 2. Eved Ivri Shesh Shanim Yavod Uvashni Yetze Lachat Shikinam Im Begapo Yavod Adonai Iten lo Ishav yalda lo vanim o vanot Aisha viladeha Ihiye ladoneha vehu yetze v'gapo ואימא מור יאמר העבד אהבתי את אדוני את אשתי ואת בניי לא אצא אחשי והגישו שוא אדוניו אל האלוהים והגישו אל הדלת או אל
המליאה
ורצה אדוניו את אזנו למרצה ועבדו לעולם וכי ינקור איש את ביתו לעמה לא תצא, יצא את העבדים. אם ראה בעיני אדוניה, אשר לא ידע והפדלה, נחרי לא ימשול למחרה בביטובה. This is a very interesting verse. Without going into the English translation, which we may find what I'm saying is absolutely different. The fourth word is Adoneha, but it's actually Adonai with a hey at the end. The hey at the end of the word means you're going in the direction of. Adonai, which is Adonai, can be the name of God, but it can also mean the word Mr. or Master. Typically, this looks at, this sounds like the eyes of the Master. Because the third word is Be'enai. But it's going in the direction of the Master. Then you have the next two words, Asher Lo. But it's written, the word lo is sounds like Lamed Bav, the 36 righteous people. But it's written as lo, meaning no, Lamed Aleph. So we are going to see some interesting aspects when we get to the English translation, I think. Verse 9. ואם ליבנו יעדנה כמשפט הבנות יעשה לה. אם אחרת ייקח לא שאירה כסותה ויונתה לא יגרע. ואם שלש אלה לא יעשה לה ויצא
חינם
יעשה מה כאיש ומת מות יומת ואשר לא צדה והאלוהים
has joined.
Asher Yadu Shama Wekiazid Ish Arehu Lehar Goy Bearma Meim Mizbehi Tikahenu Lamut Umake Aviv Leimo Mot Yumat Wegonev Ishum Karo Banim Saviado Mot Yumat Umkalel Aviv Leimo Mot Yumat וכיריבון אנשים והיכה איש את רעהו באבן או באגרוף ולא ימות ונפל למשכב אם יקום והתהלך לחוץ על משענתו וניקה המכה רק שבטו ייתן ורפו ירפא. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. Let's start to learn from the English translation. And these are the ordinances that you shall set before them. Mishpatim is being translated as ordinances. There are three levels of laws from the Torah. Mishpat is the ones that we can understand, except you have to realize we really can't understand them, as we will begin to get a sense of that in this reading. Should you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall work for 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go out to freedom without charge. Now, it's well known that we don't buy Hebrew slaves today. But we do. We actually sell ourselves to Satan. Because the term Hebrew slave is referring to the soul, who is enslaved to the society, who is enslaved to Satan, to the negativity, who is enslaved without knowing that they are enslaved, that we are enslaved. And that's the beginning of understanding the law. It makes sense. In biblical times, there were Hebrew slaves because it was a method of people who had ran into financial difficulties to provide for their family by selling themselves to someone who was wealthy, working as a slave for 6 years, and then being free. Because when you sold yourself to the wealthy person, he paid you up front. So your family was taken care of while you were being a slave to that person. But in our generation, we don't buy slaves. We don't deal with indentured servants, which is a better term, it makes it a little less onerous and it makes it a little more understandable why people would do it. Verse 3, if he comes in alone, he shall go out alone. If he is a married man, his wife shall go out with him. This verse is referring to soulmates. If he comes in alone, it's describing how soulmates come at different times in the process. Typically first the male is born, and the female comes a few years later. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. Now, what do you think this is teaching us? Verse 5, but if the slave says, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go free. You remember the verse number where No, we haven't reached it yet. Okay. So, the indentured servant is saying he's not leaving. He likes his life where he is not having responsibilities. And that's not what we're in this world to be. We have to accept our responsibilities. His master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is all related to soulmates and how they interrelate with each other. Now, if a man sells his daughter as a maidservant, she shall not go free as the slaves go free. If she is displeasing to her master, who did not designate her for himself, then he shall enable her to be redeemed. He shall not rule over her to sell her to another person when he betrays her. Again, this is talking about the souls and how the soul becomes connected to the body. And if he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the law of the daughters of Israel. If he takes another wife for himself, he shall not diminish her sustenance, her clothing, or her marital relations. And if he does not do these three things for her, she shall go free without charge, without payment of money. And one who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. But one who did not talk God brought about up into his hand, I will make a place for you to which he shall flee. This is talking about the cities of refuge. But why does he talk? Why doesn't he, does the Torah describe it as a city of refuge? That doesn't get explained later in the Torah. Remember, there's no way of mentioning what comes before, what comes after in the Torah. But the idea that he's describing the city of refuge, not putting those words into place, is an indication of what is to happen to the soul. But if a man must deliberately against his friend slay him with cunning, from my altar you shall take him to die. One who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, with respect to souls, what is the idea of striking your father or your mother? Obviously, if it's, we're talking about a physical person, you can strike your father. But what does it mean when you're talking about souls? And what curses his father or his mother should surely be put to death. And I skipped the verse by mistake. So let's go back. Verses 15 and 17 have the same effect. It's also 16. But we haven't read 16 yet. Verse 17 has the same effect, the person being killed. It's equating physical striking with the words of Christ. It's equating the words that you say are actions. But their actions in potential versus actions in action. And there is no difference. We need to understand that equivalency. Verse 17. One who curses his father or mother shall surely be, I'm sorry, and whoever kidnaps a man and sells him, and he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. So you can kidnap people, sell them, and get off scot-free. It's only if they're found in your possession. This is not talking about you kidnap. It's talking about the relationships between souls. Verse 18.
Excuse me. Hello.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's my reception, but you're breaking up in a lot of static. I don't know if I'm the only one getting that, but anyway, I thought I'd tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I get a lot of static, can't understand a lot of words.
Especially the last two verses. Very difficult to understand what you said.
Well, it's not now. You get a little better.
No.
It's not. No. Only other word just where everybody's having a stick, I can drop out the call and come right back. So I will do.
I'm going to mute.
I can't understand anything you're saying. Hello?
Malka, he said he was going to reconnect, so...
Okay.
Has
back.
Joined.
I hope you find it less static now.
No. At least not for me.
Well, there's nothing more I can do.
Oh, that time you were okay. Maybe someone on the conference call isn't muted. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute again.
Thank you. I'm going to read and just make a quick comment. Verse 15, and one who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, and whoever kidnaps a man and sells him, and he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. And 17, and one who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. The comments that I made earlier, in case you weren't able to hear them. Verse 15 and 17 is relating physical actions to the mouth of words that we say. Words that we say are potential. We say them, but we may not mean them or we may not do them. But the Torah is telling you, if you say them, it is the same as if you did them. That's a very important distinction and understanding that we need to realize. In verse 16, which is the kidnapping, it's saying that if a man kidnaps and sells the person he's kidnapped, so he's no longer in his possession, he does not get death. He's not. There's no crime. It implies there's no crime. Obviously, we know there is a crime. But the verse is talking about how souls relate to each other. It's talking about, because of the relationship between 15 and 17, and the middle of it is 16, it's talking about how the parents interact with their children. And that's what the kidnapping is referring to. That's my opinion. Verse 18. And if men quarrel, and one strikes the other with a stone or with a fist, and he does not die, but is confined to his bed, if he gets up and walks about outside on his support, the assailant shall be cleared. He shall give only payment for his enforced idleness, and he shall provide for his cure. That's a nice way of saying you'll pay for the doctor. So the only thing that's a problem is killing someone. And again, this is part of the relating to the tikkun of the souls. That's the completion of our study. Does anyone have any questions? We are out of time. So I will not be doing in any of the Perek Shirah today. Hopefully there'll be some time later in the different Go ahead.
Going any further, I'd like to ask you one other question.
Sure.
Last night's Zohar study of Mishpatim, which I think was section 11, I'm not sure, but I think so. Before, if we're able to do on Thursday night and continue with that, would you do a review, short review of that portion before we start the next verse?
Well, the verse, the section that we did last night is in section 3. In section 3, there are over 300 verses. So we've been doing section 3 for a number of years. Last night was section 3H. Now, are you asking me to do what we did last night or the earlier ones?
Just review, you know, your comments of saying, reviewing what we did, what was said.
Last night.
Mm-hmm. Not going verse by, no, you know, not at all. There wouldn't be time for that.
I'll do what I can. I'm not sure exactly what you're trying to reach.
Okay, well, like last week in the daily with Yitro, I missed 1 and 2, first day and second day Aliyah. But I think the third Aliyah, you kind of summarized what had taken place in 1 and 2, which was a big help. And I just thought it would be, because it was about the converts, and so many of us are converts, the converts. So I just wish you would say a few comments, summarize. Well,
I don't even need to wait till Thursday. I can do that in 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. That's all I ask.
Because there were a lot of code words in last night's section prior to the discussion of the converts.
Right. And I haven't gone back and reread it yet. So.
And I haven't posted the recording yet, which I will this afternoon.
I do remember it started about 80, verse 84.
Actually, 83 is where we started, which is we did 83 last year, but it started a new section, so I decided to do it again. But
I had 83 printed, so that's why I said 84, because that's what I had printed. Okay, thank you.
The discussion of the converts. When a person comes into its first lifetime, it comes in only with the ruach. Excuse me. It only comes in with the nefesh in its first lifetime. If during that lifetime it completes the tikkun of the nefesh, all is good. It receives a ruach in that lifetime. If it completes the tikkun of the ruach in that lifetime, it receives a neshama, and it's capable of completing the tikkun of the neshama along with the first two, the ruach and the nefesh. But the majority of people do not do so. The majority of people don't even complete their nefesh in the first lifetime. But to come back into the next second lifetime, if the nefesh had completed its tikkun and they had received the ruach in their first lifetime, then when they come in as their second lifetime to complete the tikkun of the ruach, it cannot come with its nefesh. So as the nefesh cannot come, there needs to be a process whereby a soul of a convert agrees to be the garment for the Ruach of the Jew. That location takes place in the lower Garden of Eden on the Rosh Chodesh and the holidays and Shabbat. During that period, the nefesh of converts. Now remember, when someone converts, they are receiving a higher level, but whether it's Ruach or Neshama, than the other nations. So when they make the conversion, it completes the conversion to being Jewish, completes the nefesh of the convert. But that nefesh really didn't complete its action. So what happens is the nefesh of the convert has to now be completed. And the way it is completed is by being the garment to the Ruach of a Jew. They meet in the lower Garden of Eden. But once the Ruach of the convert is completing its tikkun, it needs to be elevated to the upper garden for the nefesh. What the verses were saying is that during those Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, and holidays in the lower Garden of Eden, the Ruach meets the soul of the nefesh of the convert, and they agree. In fact, the Ruach just takes the convert's soul, but there's an agreement that they will be the garment to the Ruach during that next lifetime. But once they've made that connection, that relationship continues. It never changes. And the more mitzvot that the person does, it just enhances the beauty, the pleasure, the receiving of the light for the nefesh of the convert. And when the soul is ultimately completes its tikkun, it will elevate the soul of the convert that it has this very close relationship to and with. It will elevate it to the upper Garden of Eden for the nefesh of the convert. And they re-meet each other during those holidays and Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. And they give their relationship is renewed. That's what the verses were saying. Was it clear? Did I lose people? Is anybody there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure it was unmuted when I said that just a while ago, especially the bit about the difference between the lower and the higher garden of Eden. That was going to be my question, but I couldn't unmute fast enough last night. And so that was why I asked the question. Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You all have a beautiful day. We have two more classes, one at 10:30 and one at 3 today. So I hope you'll join us.
Thank you.
Shalom Gadol to everyone. Shalom.
Shalom. Thanks again.